DW Africa Link.
With Ghana's president John Mahama championing a bold new 24-hour economy, the country stands at a crossroads. Can it truly sustain a non-stop engine of jobs, growth, and productivity? It's a vision that promises to transform daily life from transport to trade, but also raises tough questions about energy, infrastructure, and wages. You know, earlier on, I had a chat with my producer, Eddie, who's proudly Ghanaian and knows just how much is riding on this idea. So in this episode, we're unpacking whether Ghana can afford to chase this ambition or if the clock is ticking on a promise too big to keep. That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from and on Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
This policy is made for Ghana and the future. The 24-hour plus program will be the catalyst for Ghana's economic growth, and we are sure that it will make Ghana prosper. Our national strategy includes inclusive growth, export expansion, job creation, and structural transformation. The 24-hour plus agenda allows us to do things in a different way, and to do them better, and to do them together. We call on the private sector, labor unions, development partners, traditional authorities, youth, and civil society to embrace this initiative. Ghana belongs to all of us. The work of transformation must be the task of all of us. It is my honor and privilege to declare the 24-hour economy agenda and accelerated export development program officially launched.
That was Ghana's President Mahama unveiling an ambitious 24-hour economy plan aimed at creating 1.7 million jobs by 2029, with an estimated cost of $4 billion, including $400 million in seed funding. The initiative targets key sectors like agriculture, manufacturing, and essential services. Now, under the proposal, industries will operate in 3 8-hour shifts daily, blending public and private sector participation to keep the economy running around the clock. The goal: shift Ghana from an import-reliant economy to one focused on exports and productivity. But can the country afford such a transformation? Skepticism remains. Joining me for the conversation is Ghanaian economist Dr. Daniel Anim Amateye and DW's Accra correspondent Isaac Kelechi to unpack the promise and the pressure behind this 24-hour vision. Let me start with you, Isaac, just to tell us if Ghanaians themselves, are they ready?
This was obviously a campaign promise by the current government when elections were taking place last year. So for the party to win, obviously, you would say that majority of people who voted for the ruling party bought into that idea. But again, it was quite sketchy at the time. And I think now we are beginning to see clarity with the program. And I think we'll definitely see whether indeed it brings that prospect for people who really don't have jobs that want some jobs, especially young people.
Now, coming to you, Dr. Amateye, if you can just take us through some of your reservations when this obviously initiative was introduced. Take us through what you thought was right or wrong about it.
To me, on paper, the program sounds or it appears innovative and progressive, with a propensity of transforming Ghana's economy. That's taking it in a theoretical sense. Okay, it sounds progressive and innovative. The good news is that it's a program that seeks to transform our economy, to create jobs and bring about productivity and lift up people from poverty, you know, because as it stands now, we have so many graduates unemployed. And so a program that will ensure that people are employed, jobs are created, we increase our GDP, it's something that all of us, we are expecting to see its feasibility. But in terms of practicality, I've listened to the policy being launched. Okay, to me, one of the things that sounds progressive is the fact that this time around, they want to take advantage of our Volta Lake, and along the Volta River, we'll have fish farming, go into mechanized agriculture to create jobs for the citizens along that bed, and also create food sustainability. But having listened to the policy, one of the things that it will be a limiting factor to my mind has to do with the funding mechanism. It is expected that I will need about $4 billion to be able to drive this particular 24-hour policy. Now, His Excellency the President indicated that government is going to be a facilitator. Government is going to ensure that we have policies and we have laws that will enable the private sector to support this particular agenda. The challenge is this. If you say you want to deal with the private sector, the big question for the NDC government to address or to answer is that, who is that private sector? Who are you expecting? Now, if you are looking at the internal private sector people, the question is that the private sector, they do not have the financial muscles, the financial capacity to be able to drive such innovative program. And that is a fact. The private sector is equally expecting government support to be able to even beef up their production capacity as it stands now. So if you have such an innovative and a policy with a propensity of transforming Ghana's economy, and you are relying on Ghana's private sector to drive it, you will not get there. Even if the private sector should have that liquidity, should have the funding, there's another challenge. The private sector, it takes the private sector time to be able to buy into an idea. They need to do their, you know, cost-benefit analysis. They need to ensure that the project they are investing their money into is feasible. So what is the way out? My solution is that, look, government should take the bull by the horn to ensure that they dictate the pace by going out to look for the funding and give to the private sector that has the potential of executing the 24-hour economy to set the base. Then the second phase of 24-hour economy will mean that people will now see the feasibility of the policy, will now see the benefit of the policy. Then the private sector will now come in. Even if an external private person is coming on board, like PPP, okay, kind of policy and an arrangement, they will want to be assured. In terms of policy, I must admit that we have good laws on the ground. Our judiciary is quite sound. They ensure that the government at the end of the day does not abuse multinational, do not abuse investors. That one is there. But my strategy, or the strategy to my mind, that I'm of the view that it will work for the government, is for the government to dictate the pace rather than to relax and say you are expecting the private sector.
And you say that the government has to look for such a huge amount of money, but after a debt default and a $3 billion IMF bailout, honestly, Doctor, is Ghana ready to power through the night? Yeah. And I remember also speaking to one expert here from Ghana in terms of even how Ghanaians operate and how they, some of them don't even want to work. What's your comment on that?
Yes. If you look at the structure of our economy, okay, and the kind of graduates our universities are turning out on a daily basis annually, we've been trained to go look for white collar jobs. Okay, you know, administrative jobs, working in the banks, working in the ministries, working in the offices, you know, even though we have the polytechnics, which is now the technical universities, the number of people that are doing the technical courses, vocational courses, that will ensure that at the end of the day, when they are given some small seed capital, they'll be able to create jobs on their own and employ people, is limited. Okay, because of the focus and approach of the nation in terms of the human resource that we train, we are still following the colonial legacy left behind that is training administrators. So you see all these young people that are willing to work, but they are interested in working in the banks. They are interested in wearing the tie, you know, going to the offices and the like. Nobody is interested. We are not focusing on the vocational and technical training. And that is where the gap is. And it is expected of the government, if you want to transform the economy, you have a teeming youth unemployed graduate, there should be a shift, a paradigm shift. In fact, the reason which even government wanted to rely on the private sector is because of our current high debt stock, and then with the arrangement we have with the fund IMF, okay? It is practically, you know, not impossible, but we going to the capital market to borrow means that we'll be borrowing at a very high coupon rate. And that may even escalate our debt stock. I think that's the reason which government wanted to use the private sector, which to my mind, it will take time for them to come on board. So if 24-hour economy is the game changer, my view, respectfully, is that government should take that bold decision, go out and look for the money. At the end of the day, every citizen and every Ghanaian will see the benefit.
Right. How then will the citizens or maybe the country know that this money that is going to come is going to be used specifically for this? And is there a committee that's been put together already to ensure that maybe the government is separated from this in a way that people actually overlook how the funds will be used?
Yes, we look at our governance structure. Even the parliament has oversight responsibility over the executives, how monies are used. So, for instance, if you want to borrow money anywhere, the NDC members in that committee will always say yes to the government of the day without critiquing and asking the relevant questions. And that is the challenge. It happens under the previous government. Okay. But if this time around, I have seen from His Excellency Jomama's demeanor, that he's ready to, you know, leave a legacy. Okay. Because it is an opportunity for him coming for the second time and the first time in our political history. Form a transparent committee. Every activity of the 24-hour economy. So, for instance, if we are successful, maybe we are able to borrow $4 billion from the capital market or anywhere, you ensure every activity is announced, citizens are informed, the committees are accountable to parliament, the spend jobs that have been created, you know, you appoint people with the technical know-how. In this manner, my view is that it will be able to move the citizens along and everybody debt store rather than the benefit that the debt is bringing to the citizens.
Right, right. Now, Kelechi, just to come back to you as well, if you have an idea already, how will these new overnight shifts affect the average Ghanaian worker? Looking at also if the country has like adequate infrastructure to accommodate so much more labor.
You talk about power, energy is an important thing. And many of the industries that will be operating, or even if a particular ordinary business wants to actually, let's say, operate, it will need power, right? So the country is struggling with power currently in terms of trying to clear the debt in the sector and be able to keep the lights on. And I think that was something that will really need to be dealt with so that then the infrastructure is there to help people. But for ordinary workers, I'm sure that for people who are jobless, I mean, there's good news for them. And that is the reason why it became a topical campaign message last year before the elections. Like Doc's mentioned, obviously it's also about the sectors. I mean, there are many young people who really are not so enthused about maybe the technical aspect of jobs or maybe in farming and etc. And I think that there's need to be an orientation of their mindset to understand that in the agri sector, it's not just about having a cutlass and a hoe. Okay, we have machinery, we have new ways of farming now. And within the farming or the agri sector, there are various chains, right, that you can actually find a space for yourself within. So people will be happy if indeed we see the actions on the ground that indeed is bearing fruit, and people are talking about the opportunities that they have taken advantage of, and we see that really is working. It will take time again.
Yeah, but then speaking of these young people and the type of jobs they want, Isaac, the scheme only applies to certain sectors of the economy. Is there no risk then in deepening divisions among the working classes?
Yes, government employs some number of people, but I mean, in the informal sector, there are many people who are finding spaces there to work, and some of them work in some of these sectors already, if it's in agric or if it's in the service industry or whichever areas, okay, or trade in other areas. It is not like this is taking a job from someone else, right? It's making room for someone else also to join, and you don't lose your money. I mean, that is a policy as the government talks about it. So let's say, for example, the government already has announced that at the ports is now running 24 hours, which means that there are shifts throughout the day, so you don't go to sleep, so that, I mean, we can increase productivity. So if you have 8 hours that you work, I mean, someone else gets another 8 hours. I don't think people should have any issue. The only issue would be if some sectors that you belong to or you have capacity or skills to is yet to benefit from the policy, then you'll be hoping that it catches up quickly so that you can get jobs in those sectors. Yeah.
Yeah, Isaac, you are naturally a workaholic, but before I turn to Doctor, if you can just also touch on these sectors that are part of this policy quickly.
I mean, the government is hoping that all sectors of the economy could benefit, right?
But oh, okay.
I think for a start, you cannot start with all the sectors, right? So the key sectors, again, like Doc mentioned, agric is very huge for Ghana, right? So if you have, we have a lot of land that can be explored, because apart from creating jobs for people, you're also dealing with food insecurity and other things. So for example, the government started from example, the ports, right? So our ports now are supposed to run 24 hours. Some state institutions are supposed to run 24 hours where there's productivity. And when we talk about productivity, we're talking about production of things, right? So if our ports run only 8 hours a day, and so we have a lot of cars or items or goods stocked at the port cannot be cleared. I mean, if you have 24 hours, it means that continuously you can clear your goods, right? And it helps to release the stress and the challenges we have in the economy. I for example, traveled a different country where I was hungry, and then I checked the time. It was around 11 p.m. And then I look over the window and I saw there's a shop open, right? I got there and got something to eat. I mean, that deals with my challenges in terms of hunger. But again, that does job, right, for someone who is attendant there for that period. Mm. I think if you have such a system across, it's not every place, right? But in the major cities, I mean, people go to nightclubs and all that. It means that you can, over 24 hours, get the services you want. You have a job that is also provided for other things that we have to be cautious. It has to be sectors that have the capacity, the infrastructure to support it and gradually spread across other areas.
Yeah. Right, right. Now, Doc, coming back to you, do you think there were other ways of, or there are other ways of solving the Ghanaian economic crisis than this 24-hour economy policy?
24-hour economy is one of the ways of ensuring that we improve upon our economy. I've indicated that the 1D1F initiative by the previous government should not be swept under the carpet. They should find a way of infusing it into the 24-hour economy. And that is the way to anchor, you know, the gains from the previous administration. And it will help in terms of our economic transformation. Okay. But one of the things that we need, if you study our economy very well, the structure of Ghanaian economy is predominantly is import, largely import-driven economy. What it means is that we import virtually almost everything from other economies. And the reason which we do not have a very strong productive base, that the manufacturing base, is also the cost of production. So as part of a strategy, you know, aside the 24-hour economy, is to ensure that you empower the existing production base of your economy, the manufacturers, by ensuring that they have competitive rates in terms of assessing liquidity and capital from the commercial banks. Okay. So that is another aspect of it. And also, we have that one, that the 1D1F, as I indicated earlier, we couldn't materialize it as expected. Okay, so 24-hour economy should go hand in hand with 1D and 1F. My view is that when we combine the two, or we infuse 1D1F into the 24-hour economy, it will become very vibrant, you know, and be able to transform our economy. So aside the 24-hour economy, there was a policy. Look at that policy. Let's take the goods from that policy and then add it to the 24-hour economy. Let's support the existing manufacturing base, the production base of our economy. If that is done, we'll be able to produce goods that we have competitive urge of producing and minimize our import. Once we minimize importation, it improves the appreciation of our local currency, that's the city, and jobs are created. So to answer you, this strategy should be factored into the 24-hour economy so that we do not see the 24-hour economy as the game changer. Because as I indicated, it will take time for liquidity or funds to flow in to implement 24-hour economy. So the existing pillars and structures on the ground, you support them while you implement the 24-hour economy. If that is done, then we should be on our way transforming Ghana's economy, you know, in a manner that will create jobs and prosperity for all citizens.
All right. Before we wrap up, Doc, obviously the 1D, 1F, I mean, that's the one district, one factory policy, right?
Yes.
It was implemented by the previous government. Not knowing how politics or governments operate in Ghana. Do you foresee Mahama's administration wanting to actually adapt this and continue with it, or he feels like he wants to start his own thing, which is separate from this, in your own opinion?
I've even heard, not even opinion, but I've heard the Honorable Trade Minister, Honorable Elizabeth Ejiri, indicating that therefore 24-hour economy and 24-hour economy is distinct and different from, you know, 1D1F, and that is to suggest that they will not buy into the 1D1F as I've indicated. But to my mind, okay, there are some positive in the 1D1F that ought to be, you know, considered and run it along with the 24-hour economy. But just to answer you, yes, the politics of the day will not allow. Even if they will do that, they'll probably change the name. They don't want, you know, the other government to take credit, and then it's part of our politics.
So what happens to the money that was also put in the 1D1F? That's a loss.
That's a loss. That's a bad aspect of our politics, you know, that. But that is what it is for now.
Wow. And Kelechi, so just to wrap up with you, the presidential advisor to the plan said Ghanaians must, in quotes, reject poverty and push themselves in the name of the economy. Do you foresee this extra work really helping the country rejecting poverty?
Well, I think that dealing with poverty has, you need to deal with many, many elements, right? So, I mean, you can still give someone a lot of money and a person can still return to becoming poor in a couple of days, right? So I think that one is about creating an economy that can support everyone's living standard, right? And that obviously means that people must be productive, must have jobs, they must have incomes, and cost of living must be low, and all that. And so, yes, I get what he's talking about. I mean, it's just like a cliche saying we should reject poverty. But what you do by rejecting poverty, you need to be productive. You need to have skills to earn something, to take care of yourself, and have a better life. And if this policy is to do that, it has to take into consideration some of the concerns that critics have or analysts have, or some of the things that Doc has mentioned, so that then they can improve upon it. I think one thing that we have with politics in Africa is that once people are in government and they have some concerns being raised by policies from opposition or other aspects, they don't seem to give so much listening to it. But I think if you listen to all the various thoughts, it helps to improve upon the program, make it more inclusive, and then it can achieve the results. I think that if there are more jobs for people, young people, yes, we will be dealing with poverty to some level. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. So Dr. Daniel Anim Amateye, Ghanaian economist, we will keep track here at Africa Link to see how the 24-hour economy happens in Ghana. And we'll definitely bring you back for another discussion just for a review. And also our correspondent in Accra, Ghana, Isaac Kelechi. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now, at the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories we are dealing with play out, or at times they even overlap. Ghana's 24-hour economy ambition stands out in Africa, where few countries have formally pursued such a strategy at scale. While cities like Nairobi and Lagos boast vibrant nighttime economies driven by tech hubs, transport, and entertainment, these are largely informal and not state-led. Rwanda has extended public services into the evening to boost productivity, and South Africa's major cities actually operate 24/7 in sectors like logistics and retail, but without a coordinated national plan. Ghana's approach is unique in that it's a government-backed policy aimed at reshaping the economy through structured shifts, investment, and job creation. But will this recipe lead to success? Only time will tell. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial, crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember, you can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Eddie Micah Jr. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.